12 is where we are. Before I get started, I think I just saw Miss Eugenia Foshi pull up, walking around. It's where we are. We'll start reading in verse number 16, Luke chapter 12, verse number 16. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." Was it nobody? Okay. Sorry about that. No, somebody drove through. "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." I'm going to preach today a message titled, A Rich Fool, A Rich Fool. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we are truly thankful for another day that you have made, thankful for the opportunity to be here at church. Lord, very thankful for each one that's come. And Lord, I pray most of all that your presence would be real in this service. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts through the preaching of the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that whatever decision we might need to make, we would make it before we leave. Lord, if there's somebody here that's lost, maybe somebody backslid, whatever the case might be, Lord, help us to be attentive, help us to be alert, help us to focus on the Word of God and what you have for us. I pray, Lord, that you would give me liberty that I might say exactly what you want said, nothing more, nothing less. And Lord, when it's all said and done, help us to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And I ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The verses that we have just read are commonly known as the parable of the rich fool. The parable of the rich fool. And in verses 13 through 15 of this same chapter, you have what I call the context of the parable. The context of the parable. And the context is the Lord Jesus Christ issuing a warning about the sin of covetousness. But then beginning in verse 16 and going through verse 21, the verses we just read, you have what I call the content of the parable. You have the context in verses 13 to 15. You have the content in verses 16 to 21. And the content deals with a certain rich man who the Lord calls a fool in verse number 20. And this obviously is why the parable is known as the parable of the rich fool. Whenever you begin to dig into the content of this parable, it becomes very clear why the Lord called this man a fool. Now, you might be surprised to know, or perhaps you already know, that the Lord did not call this man a fool because he was rich. The Lord called this man a fool because of how he allowed riches to affect the way he lived his life. That is why the Lord called this man a fool. And what I want us to do this morning in the next few minutes is just go through this parable together. I want us to look at it verse by verse and notice certain truths that are very evident, certain truths that stand out about this rich fool. First of all, I want you to look with me here in verse number 16 and in some of the verses following and notice that this man, this certain rich man was prosperous in his business. He was prosperous in his business. Now, what was his business? Well, I think it's pretty easy to tell that the man was a farmer. That was his business, his trade, his profession, you might say. In verse number 16, it talks about how the ground of this certain rich man brought forth plentifully. As you read on, you see references made to his fruits, which would have to do with his harvest, the things that his ground brought forth. Also, you see reference made to his barns and how he's going to have to pull down the current barns he had and then build greater barns. So I believe it was it that he was prosperous in his business. How many of you understand that there's no sin in prospering in your business as long as you handle your business in line with the Word of God? Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. So the problem wasn't what he did. The problem wasn't the fact that he prospered. The problem lies in how he responded, how he reacted to God, any credit whatsoever for his prosperity. You don't find that. Nowhere does he say here, Lord, I realize that it is because of you that my ground brought forth plentifully. Anybody in here that's done any farming or gardening understands that really at the end of the day, for your ground to bring forth plentifully, you must have the blessing of Almighty God. Now, you can get out and you can prepare the ground and you can plant the seed and you can tend to your garden or your crops all day long. But I'm telling you, if God does not give the increase, there will be no increase. So this man should have given credit to the Lord. He did not do that. He did not give any credit whatsoever to the Lord for his prosperity. Not only that, but I don't see here where this man ever thanked the Lord for his prosperity. Do you find anywhere in the text where he said, Lord, I just want to say thank you for your prosperity in my life? You don't find that. He doesn't credit God. He doesn't thank God. And I don't see anywhere in the passage where he says that he's going to honor God with his prosperity. The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. This man should have looked at his increase and began to think of ways that he could honor the Lord with his prosperity. You don't find that anywhere in the passage. These are some of the reasons why the Lord referred to this man as a fool. Yes, he was prosperous in his business. But nowhere does he give God credit. Nowhere does he thank God. Nowhere does he choose to honor God with what the Lord has bestowed upon his life. What I'm saying to you this morning, I believe, applies to a lot of people that live in our world today. And listen, it really doesn't matter how you prosper. There's ways to prosper other than financially, right? But naturally, when you start talking about prosperity, people's minds begin to gravitate toward money. But there's a lot of ways that you can prosper besides money, besides wealth. For example, you can prosper in your health. You can have good health. And let me say to you, and many of you realize what I'm saying is the truth, if you got good health, that's a blessing from God. And there's people who have very good health. If you're prospering in your health, or if you are prospering in your finances or in your job, however it is that you are prospering in your life, it's important that, number one, you always acknowledge the fact that you are prospering because God's blessing is on your life. You give Him credit for it. You don't walk around taking credit for yourself, acting like you have this because of you. And you hear people make comments and say things like that a lot. They try to take credit for what they have done or what has been accomplished. They act like it's because of their hard work and all their labor and all the things that they do. And listen, I think it's important to work hard. Amen. I think it's important for us to do our part. But at the end of the day, if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have a job to start with. Not only would we not have a job, but we wouldn't have the physical and mental wherewithal to get up every day and do that job. So however it is that you prosper, you need to understand that it is God's blessing on your life and give Him credit for that. And I believe every day of our life we ought to thank God for our prosperity. Hey, we may not be rich as this man was, and I don't know how wealthy he was, but he was a rich man. We may not have all the riches that he did, but listen to me, friend. If you've got somewhere to lay your head down tonight, and you got a roof over your head, and plenty of food to eat, and a job to go to tomorrow, you are a wealthy individual. And you have a lot to thank God for. How often do you thank Him? How often do you stop and say, Lord, I just want to thank you for the prosperity that I enjoy in my life? You may not have everything you want, but I guarantee everybody I'm looking at this morning has probably got a whole lot more than many of the people that live in our world today. Are you thankful to God for what you have? You should be thankful. Give Him credit. Give Him thanks. And I would say you need to look for ways to honor the Lord with your prosperity. Here's something that we really need to get our head around. God doesn't just prosper us for us. He gives His blessings into our lives so that we can then be a blessing to somebody else. Look for ways to honor God with what you have. It's all right to prosper, but make sure when you prosper that you look for a way or ways that you can honor God with what He gives you. This man did not do that. Now here's the second thing I want you to notice, and I have several things I want us to look at, so we need to move on. Not only was the man prosperous in his business, but secondly, I see this morning that he was self-centered in his thoughts. He was self-centered in his thoughts. As you go along looking, the picture gets clearer and clearer. It's easy to understand why the Lord said what He did. He was prosperous in his business, but did not honor God or thank God or credit God with his prosperity. And number two, he was self-centered in his thought. Look at this with me. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, and he thought within himself. He's kind of having a conversation with himself at this point. And this is what he says. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. He had eye trouble, didn't he? Eye trouble. Just eye. But I'm going to show you something else. Not only did he have eye trouble, he had will trouble. Look at verse number 18. He says, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. He had eye trouble. He had will trouble. It's very clear to me that the most important person in his life was him. And the most important thing in his life was what he wanted to do. The very self-centered individual. Look on down in this same passage at verse number 21, where the Lord Jesus Christ makes some application to the parable. He says, so is he that layeth up treasure for who? Himself. And that's what this man was guilty of. One of the things he was guilty of is laying up treasure just for himself and not being rich toward God. The most important person in his life was him. He felt like the world should revolve around him, and it was all about his will and what he wanted to do with what he had acquired in his life. Very self-centered. Would y'all agree with me this morning that we live in a very self-centered world today? Not everybody's selfish and self-centered, but a whole lot of people are. In fact, can we be honest this morning? Can we be honest? We can't be honest at church. We're in a world we're going to be honest at. I suspect all of us, and when I say all, I mean every last one of us, to some degree, is self-centered. You just well shake your head like this, because I told you the truth. All of us at times tend to put ourselves above everybody else. It's our needs, our burdens, our concerns. We focus more on ourselves than we do others. That's just kind of how we are sometimes. Some people are really, really bad about it. I mean, some people are extremely self-centered. I can kind of understand, because Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 that in the last days perilous times are going to come. And he says the reason why times are going to get so bad is number one on the list. You know what it is? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. You know what he said? Lovers of their own selves. That's being self-centered. Being so in love with yourself that yourself means more to you than anybody or anything. It's just you and what you want. It's your will be done, not God's will be done. Very self-centered. And I tell you, us Christians aren't exempt from it. In talking with people through the years, Christian people I'm referring to, I have come away from the conversation believing that a lot of these folks think in their mind that God exists for them. That's the thing that I got from the conversation, that God exists for them. A lot of people think that God is there to be kind of like an errand boy for them, just a glorified errand boy. And if they say jump, God ought to say how high. And every single thing that comes up, God ought to be at my beck and call and do whatever I demand of him. They act as if they're not here for his pleasure. It's the other way around. Let me say something, folks. God doesn't exist for your pleasure. You exist for his pleasure. That's what the Bible says. And it's not that you should see God as just some great big Santa Claus who gives you everything on your wish list. But that's the way some people see the Lord. We expect him to just give us every single thing that we want. Just dole it out. If we got a need or we got a problem, we got something we want God to take care of, we think he ought to do it every time and be Johnny on the spot. And I'm going to tell you, this is why a lot of Christians get mad and get bitter with God and get out of church when he doesn't do things exactly like they think he ought to do. These people that get all put out with the Lord because he doesn't answer a certain prayer at the time that they prayed it or in the way that they prayed it, they get mad and they, you know what that is? That is a sign of being self-centered. You think in your mind that God exists for you, and if I pray about it, he ought to do it for me right now. You won't find that anywhere in the Bible, friend. You're here for him, not the other way around. Very self-centered man he was. Let me show you a third thing about him. He was prosperous in his business. He was self-centered in his thoughts. Number three, he was overconfident in his possession. Overconfident in his possessions. Look here at verse number 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He's overconfident in his possessions. He's got a lot, there's no doubt. And you understand, he was rich, according to verse 16, before his ground ever brought forth plentifully. You ever heard the old expression, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer? Here's a rich man who got richer. He was a very well-off man. He had a lot, and this is what he says in verse 19. He says, thou hast much goods. Got a whole lot of stuff now. He says, laid up for many years. You know what he believed? He believed he was secure. Hear people, they all, you know, talking about security and retirement and all that. And I'm all for having retirement and trying to be as secure financially as you can. I'm not advising against that. Let me say something to you this morning. It doesn't matter how much you have acquired, how much you have in the bank, how much retirement you got put up. If God chooses, he can take every single thing you have in just a few moments of time. And it is a fool who puts their confidence in their possessions instead of their confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's nothing you have that can't be gone by the end of this day. You hear me? There is no real security other than trusting in the Lord to take care of your needs and provide for you. But some people, they build up such a bank account, retirement, and all this other stuff. Their mindset is, hey, I got enough laid up for years and years to come, and I'm going to have that stuff for years and years. You may not have that stuff for years and years. It may be gone. What are you going to do when it's gone? What you ought to do when it's gone is what you need to be doing right now. Trust in the Lord. Don't be overconfident in your possessions. It generally takes a good amount of time to store up these things. And I've noticed through the years that it don't take near as long for it to go away as it does to make it. Don't be overconfident in what you have this morning. Keep your confidence in the Lord, not in your possessions. I tell you something else I notice about this man. He was deceived about his future. He was deceived about his future. Verse number 19, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Just take it easy. We use that a lot, take it easy. That's what he's saying to himself, just take it easy. You got all this stuff. Kick back, eat, drink, relax. Just take it easy. Live the easy life. Don't work so hard. Just live the easy life now. And do this for many years. He's thinking in his mind that he's got years and years left to enjoy everything that he has acquired. But he was wrong. The Bible says in verse 20, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." He's thinking he's got many years. I got a long time to live. God says, "You ain't even going to make it through the night, buddy. This night right here, thy soul shall be required of thee." Deceived about his future. A lot of people are deceived about their future. They think in their mind they got years and years and years to live. I'm just a young person. I got years to live. I'm going to be around for a lot longer. And people begin to think like this too. They think, well, my daddy and mama lived till they was 105 years old. I ain't but 65, so man, look at all the time I got left. How do you know that? How do you know that? Just because your mom and dad lived to be 100 or 105 or 500 for that matter, doesn't mean that you have another day to live on this earth. This is the way people think. They're thinking in their mind they got years and years to live. Folks, people die every day who are not sick. You don't have to be sick to die. You don't have to be old to die. We tend to think in our mind it's old, sick people that die. Let me tell you something. I have done funerals for people that fit in a casket this size right here. I have done funerals for people. You hear me? I have done many funerals for people a lot younger than myself. Death is no respecter of person, and when your number gets called by the Lord, there's nothing you're going to do to change that. You might think in your mind sitting here this morning, I got years to live, have all these big plans, all these things you're going to do. And I pray that if they're good plans and they're in line with God's will for your life, you have those years and you accomplish that stuff. But you need to understand, you may not make it through this day. Your number may get called. This man was literally about to meet his maker. You could be. You could be. You may not make it through the remainder of this day. It's being deceived about his future. It's why a lot of people put off decisions, very important decisions that they need to make right now. I don't know the folks that I've talked to in the years that's gone by about their soul and the need to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior so they'll be prepared for death. And I hear something along the lines, well, you know, I'm young. I got a lot of life to live, and I got things I want to do. I'll get saved later in life. You know what they're doing? They're putting off the most important decision they could ever make because they believe in their mind they got many more years to live. There's a lot of people. Are y'all listening to me? There's a lot of people right now while we're in this service in the air-conditioned building who are burning in hell. They're burning in hell because they thought in their mind they had a lot more years to live. And they put it off. No, I got time. I got time. I'm going to live my life and do my thing, and then later on when I'm an old man or an old woman, I'll settle down then and I'll get saved and I'll start going to church then. And many of them never make it to that point in their life. They're dead and in hell right now. A lot of Christians do the same thing. A lot of Christians know there's things in their life that they need to get straightened out, areas where they're not surrendered to God, areas where they're not being as faithful to the Lord as they need to be. And the Lord's been working on them, been dealing with them about it. They know there's a decision or perhaps decisions they need to make that will help them to progress along in their life spiritually. They realize that, but they just keep putting it off. Just keep putting it off. You know why? Because they believe in their mind they got a lot more years to live. I'll do that later on. I have no doubt that churches all over this country today, all over this country, there'll be many saved people who will get up and walk out of church not making a decision they know they need to make. I'm talking about the Lord deal with them right now today about that decision, but they'll get up and walk out and put it off because they believe in their mind, I got many more years to live. I'll do it later. You may not have many more years. Whatever decision you need to make this morning, right now is the time to do it. You don't know that you got many more years to live. You may not even make it through the remainder of this day. And I preach stuff like this, and we'll say amen to it, but I doubt very seriously that any of us here this morning, or maybe just a handful of us this morning, really grasp the truth of what I'm talking about. That our life could be over before the sun goes down today. You have no assurance of another breath. Wouldn't it be horrible? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to be in this service here this morning and realize, know that you lost on your way to hell and have this opportunity right here in this service to get things right to where you're saved and know you're going to heaven, but put that off because you think in your mind you'll have another opportunity somewhere down the road and then die before that opportunity and go to hell. What a terrible thing to have to live through all eternity knowing, man, the Lord gave me that chance. I had that chance, and I put it off. You are a fool if you get up and leave this building this morning lost without Jesus Christ. Deceived about his future. Here's another thing. Just got a couple more, and I'll be finished. He was prosperous in his business. He was self-centered in his thoughts. He was overconfident in his possessions, deceived about his future. And then I see that the man was earthly in his outlook. He was earthly in his outlook. The Apostle Paul writes later on in the book of Philippians about those who mind earthly things. And I think that's a very fitting description of this man. He minded earthly things. His mind was on this earth and the things that are associated with this earth. His mind was not on heaven. His mind was not on the life to come. All he's thinking about is down here. His life right here on this earth. No thought of the next life whatsoever. If you're saved here this morning, the Bible says that you are to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. There are a lot of people who live every day and their mind's just down here. All the stuff they want to accomplish, all the stuff they want to get done, and all the stuff they want to acquire, they're just, their mindset, their outlook It's just earthly, earthly. It's not heavenly. They're not thinking about heaven. They're not thinking about the life that is beyond this life. They're thinking about the temporal rather than the eternal. And I'm saying to you, there are a lot of people that are giving up that which is eternal so they can have that which is temporal. And there's people that will live and they'll acquire all kinds of things down here, and every bit of it is going to burn up one day. Do you realize that? Every bit of it's going to burn up. It's going to be gone. They're going to spend their life trying to get all this stuff, just thinking about this life down here, not setting their affection on things above, not seeking those things which are above. Jesus Christ said we're to lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and where thieves don't break through and steal. Where our mind needs to be more than down here is up there. We need to be thinking more about the next life than we do this life. I am afraid a lot of Christians are going to leave this world having an abundance of worldly possessions, but when they hit the judgment seat of Christ, be spiritually bankrupt. Have nothing when they get there. If you want something there at the judgment seat of Christ, you have to lay those things up as you live your life down here. And far too many people are thinking about this life and what's going on down here than they are in heaven. Let me show you one other thing about this man. He was godless, godless in his life. When I say godless, I don't mean that he went around doing a whole bunch of ungodly, wicked things. That's not what I'm talking about. There's no evidence here to support that the man did a lot of really bad things. He appeared to be a hardworking guy, as far as I can tell. When I say godless in his life, what I mean is he lived without any thought of God. God was not in his thoughts. His life was not about the Lord. He was godless in his life. A lot of people are living the same way. Just no thought of God, just living for themselves, not thinking about him at all, not thinking about his will, what he wants, how they can honor the Lord with their life. They're godless. In their life. Here's something the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said, as it was in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Isn't that what he said? In other words, when I show up, things are going to be down here like they were in Noah's day and in Lot's day. Have y'all ever read your Bible and saw what it was like in Noah's day and Lot's day? It's pretty rough, wasn't it? There was all sorts of violence that filled the earth. Men's hearts and imagination was on evil continually. There was sexual perversion that was running rampant all over the place. This is Noah and Lot's day, and Jesus Christ said, when I show up, that's the way it's going to be down there on the earth, like it was in Noah's day and like it was in Lot's day. But here's the interesting thing. When Jesus says that, he does not reference any of those wicked things that we read about back in the Old Testament when we study Noah's day and Lot's day. Y'all ever paid attention to that? He doesn't talk about the sexual perversion, the violence, any of that stuff when he says that. You know what he says? He says, when I show up, it's going to be like Noah's day and Lot's day. And this is what he says. He says, they'll be eating. They'll be drinking. They'll be married, and they'll be given in marriage. Let me ask you something. What's wrong with any of that? What's wrong with eating? Praise God, there ain't nothing wrong with it. As long as you don't commit gluttony, okay? There's nothing wrong. It's not a sin to eat. It's not a sin to drink. And when he says drinking, he's not talking about drunkenness and that sort of thing. Just eating and drinking and marrying. What is wrong with getting married? The Bible says marriage is honorable. It's what the Bible says. God is the one that instituted marriage. There's nothing wrong with marriage. There's nothing wrong with giving in marriage. Nothing wrong with that stuff. So why would he say that? Why wouldn't he focus on all those really bad things that we know about that was going on in Noah and Lot's day? I'll tell you what was wrong. The problem is they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage without any thought of God whatsoever. That was the problem. There's nothing wrong with eating and drinking and just, you know. The problem is when you eat and drink and you marry and give in marriage and you just live your life and go to work and go to school and have your career and get married and have your family and kids and put them through college and you do all. And I'm not saying those things are bad, so don't go out and say that Brother Keith said that's bad. The problem is when you do all of that stuff, you just live and live and live without any regard for God whatsoever. That's the problem. And so many people, even saved people, live just like that. They live, they get this plan in their life for what they're going to do. All right, I'm going to go to school. I'm going to graduate high school. I'm going to get me a scholarship, or I'm going to work my way through college. And after I've done whatever and get out, then I'm going to get married, and then we're going to have a little house, and we're going to have two or three young'uns, and we're going to go to church here, and we're going to sink our roots here, and they're going to do all this stuff, and not one time do they ever stop and say, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? That's what you see going on, and that's what Jesus Christ references when he talks about how it's going to be when he shows up. And that's the life a lot of, they're not living a godless life in the sense that they're going around doing a bunch of horrible, terrible, wicked things. Many of them go to church. They don't drink, they don't smoke, they don't do drugs, they're not whoremongers. They don't live a godless life in that sense, but they live a life without God in their thoughts for the majority of the time. Just doing what they want. That's the way this man was, godless in his life. What a terrible way to live. Can you understand now why the Lord called this man a fool? Some people might say the Lord was being a little harsh. I can understand why he said what he did. I want us to bow our heads together at this time as we get ready for our invitation. I don't want you to be thinking about other people. I'd like for you to think about yourself this morning. Is there any decision that you need to make? Are you lost? Do you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Christian, are you backslidden? Have you just kind of got cold and got to the point where you're not living for the Lord and not focused on Him and His will, and your affections are all on the things of this world and just worrying about what you can get down here and what you can do? What decision do you need to make this morning? So we have our invitation. Don't put off whatever you know you need to do, thinking in your mind that you'll have another chance. It is possible that right now may be the last time God ever gives you a chance to do what you need to do. Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us be here this morning. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth. And I pray, Lord, any decision that needs to be made would be made right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Scott, let's stand together.